नाम प्रेम प्रदाय वैष्णव नमो महावदन्या कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य
I did the same thing last time.
We discussed
Then, we tell the story of Keshava Kashmiri. He's the Digvijaya, the wandering scholar who goes from town to town challenging the greatest scholars of that town so that he can feel that he's the greatest personality by having defeated all of the big scholars in philosophy and logic. So the residents and particularly Brahmins and scholars of Navadvip felt that he's such a big scholar that it wouldn't be a very good thing if we lost. So we should put up our Nimai Pandit scholar. And because he's just a young boy, if we lose, we can always say he was just a young boy. And if he wins, it could be a great victory for us as Navadvip pundits. So they sent him to his direction. And Mahaprabhu was sitting as the sun was setting with his students, giving class. And when that Keshava Kashmiri came, Nimai Pandit thought, oh, what a big false ego he has. When Keshava Kashmiri saw him, the sky was very red and the whole scene looked very beautiful. Then he began to recite many slokas on the Ganges to show off his scholarship. And he recited them like the wind, because his worshipable deity was Saraswati, and by her power he was able to just at the moment invent slokas like the wind. So Lord Chaitanya said, now I want you to pick out one particular verse and say the five good things about the verse, the five good qualities and the five faults. So he gave five good qualities, he said, but I can't find any faults in it. So then Lord Chaitanya found five other good things about it and five faults. And he said one thing that he pointed out was that he was talking about Parvati as Bhavani Bharata, Lord Shiva rather, as Bhavani Bharata. Bhavani means the husband of Lord Shiva, and Bharati means husband. So Bharata means husband. So he was calling Lord Shiva. Yeah, my accent is terrific. Bhavani. Right. Bhava is Lord Shiva, and Bhavani is the wife of Lord Shiva. Like Radharani, so Bhavani. Thank you. So he was addressing Lord Shiva as the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, which is a redundancy. And Keshava Kashmiri was so shocked that he couldn't say anything in retaliation. Then he went back home, and that night he prayed to Saraswati that how could I possibly have been defeated by anyone since I'm under your empowerment? He said, well, he's my husband, so I need the Supreme Lord, so I couldn't let him be defeated. So she told him to surrender at the feet of Mahaprabhu, which he did, Lord Chaitanya, which he did. Then he told the story of Janakazi. We all know that story, when there was big century time parties and Lord Chaitanya defeated Janakazi. Then Gurudev concluded by saying, so you're so fortunate and lucky that you've come to this holy dham. And in the first class, you remember, he was translating Pujapad Srivakram Maharaj's Bengali class, and he said that Pujapad Srivakram Maharaj has just said that it took you many, many lakhs of Sikhites and sanskars to be able to come to this place, so you're so fortunate. So he closed the class by saying, we should all pray to Vishnu Priya Devi and Sachi Mata for their mercy to destroy the controllers here. Then he warned everybody that tomorrow, don't come out of the mud. Just hear Hari Katha all day because it's dangerous to go out because of the holy. And that was the day before. This is the day before Kaurpurnima, the 19th. Then in the evening, Gurudev didn't come down for the class. But it was, as Gurudev generally MCs and calls on various sannyasis and others, so Srila Vaman Maharaj called on Western devotees and Bengali devotees. Oh, Gurudev, it seems that he did come later. But Srila Vaman Maharaj was the one who, he came earlier and he was calling on the devotees, including, they were, Gurudev came, didn't he come later? Gurudev came first?
No.
Oh, he gave him the slip. Okay. We should speak. Maybe it was another night that only Srila Vaman Maharaj came. And he also called on Govinda Bhaktapuru, who concentrated on the verse Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidisho Vanayaga and explained that verse in detail, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Then Gurudev spoke just a few words. He spoke and explained elaborately the verse Araja Bhagavan Pradesha Tanayas Tadhama Vrindavan, which is written by Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that the supreme worshipable deity is Sujanyanandan Sri Krishna, and his dham, Vrindavan, is as worshipable as he is. There is no higher worship of the Lord than that which was invented or manufactured by the young brides of Braja, the gopis. The best of all scriptures, spotless, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the highest evidence. And praying is the only goal of life. These statements, this is the last line, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Mataridam. These are the statements of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Atadaro Naparam. And we're not interested in anybody else's opinions on anything. So this might talk about attack or anything. Gurudev often quotes it and recorded it that day also. Then he said, tomorrow is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. The best thing, and this is the first time I've ever heard that, is that you fast all day and do nirjal. Then it will have the most potency, unless you're sick and can't do it. And if you have to take prasadam, then wait till after the Abhishek ceremony, which was ended around 9. And then he announced, oh, that was the next day. He announced the play. And he said, tomorrow you should all read from Chaitanya Bhagavat one after another all day. So the next day the Bengali sannyasis and gurus were taking turns hour by hour singing the
Guru.
Then next day, March 20th, morning. What day was Kaurpurnima? 20th. 20th morning. Gurudev said, today is Falgun Purnima, full moon. In the evening of today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in Mayapur on the bank of the Ganges when it was an eclipse and all were chanting Hari Bol and taking bath in Ganges. who saw that Srimati Radhika, Krishna saw. Now he's quoting from the almost the beginning of Adi Leela chapter 4. Slok after slok after slok he's quoting. That Krishna's thinking, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is no one else but Krishna. And Krishna is thinking, I want to taste Radhika's vow. He saw that Srimati Radhika is my prem guru. She has all relations with me. And Gurudev has explained this also many times. And Uddhava also explained this. But it appears that the gopis have no relationship with Krishna, no sambandha. And therefore their relationship is illegal. But he said that actually all of our relationships with Krishna is illegal because we don't have a full relationship with him like the gopis do. So Parakya Bhav is the most legal relationship because it has the most relationship with Krishna. That is, somebody can be Krishna's mother, somebody else can be Krishna's friend. Uddhava had several relationships with Krishna because he's the most intimate devotee of Krishna in the Jadu dynasty. That is, he's his friend, his cousin, his mantri, that is his prime minister, his advisor. Krishna told him that he's more dear. His messenger, Krishna told him that you're more dear to me, even than Balaram and Lakshmi. But the gopis have more relationships, even though they don't have a technical relationship of being a wife or mother. But Krishna considers that the gopis, and particularly Radharani, she is my train guru, my sakhi, my disciple, my friend, my teacher. Whatever's higher than me, equal to me, and lower than me, she is that. She's everything. Then he said that all living entities, whether they're animals, trees, creepers, or to speak of humans, they're all attracted to me. But as for myself, I'm only attracted to taking darshan of Srimati Radhika. And these lines were spoken in a drama that was put on first in Hawaii and then in Badger by Charachandrika and Samapriya. And particularly the first time Gurudev saw this drama, he said, excellent, excellent. So many big, big scholars don't know this tattva, and these girls, they were speaking the best of tattvas. Because the whole play was about why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and they were quoting the slok, Radha, Pranaya Mahima, Kadisho, Vanyaiva, and all these contemplations of Krishna. All the world become intoxicated and attracted when they hear my sweet words. But when I hear the sweet words and sounds of Srimati Radhika, then my flute stops. I become so spellbound, I can't even play my flute. The whole world sees me. When seeing me, their hearts become satisfied. But when I see Srimati Radhika, then I can't say what moods come into me. I don't even understand all the moods that come into me. And this is Aneka Ras. This is Aneka Ras because he can't taste all these rasas as Krishna. So when he takes the mood of Radhika, successfully, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he becomes overwhelmed with so many moods of Madanakya Mahabhav that as Krishna, he could not even conceive of such moods. So here he's Anekarat, as opposed to Ekam, which means one. Anek means
yesterday
one.
I went to the
What is the name?
It's 435.
So, but there's something very strange. That is, the thing that's strange is that something is in me is very sweet. And when Srimati Radhika experiences this, she becomes mad. In unmad grasa, unmad means mad to the maximum. What does grasa mean? Not Hindi? Mad to the maximum degree. But the strange thing is that I cannot experience the citra, that I cannot realize and taste this thing in me that she tastes. I realize and taste the train and love of all the gopis, elderly gopis, but I cannot realize and taste what's in me, so this is very strange. So he took the beauty and intrinsic new mood of Srimati Radhika and came to this world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He, in order to thoroughly grasp Srimati Radhika's mood, he met with Vishakha, or Sri Ramananda Rai, at the bank of Godavari. Vishakha has beauty and quality like Srimati Radhika, and she's the same age, so she has the same mood. But Lalita is more arrogant, and therefore he couldn't quite get Srimati Radhika's madhyama mood from Lalita, that is sort of Damodar. He had to get that from Rai Ramananda. So Rai Ramananda became his sixth guru. In Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's Manushiksha, text number 10 or so, he says to his mind, you should always meditate on Gokulachandra as the Lord of my mistress, the Lord of the heart of my mistress, and you should always meditate on Radhika as the mistress of Vrijendra Nandan, and you should also meditate on Lalita as the peerless friend of them both, and you should meditate on Vishakha as their Shiksha Guru. So she became the Shiksha Guru of Krishna to teach him how to be Radhika. Then he was able to fully experience the mood, and then he went to Puri and tasted it himself in the Gambira. Now this sounds contradictory to everything that Guru Dev has been saying before in his previous classes, which was that Navadvipa is superior to Puri and Godavari. So the reconciliation is that only a part of him went to Puri and Godavari, just as only a part of Srimati Radhika went to Udhavakari and Kurukshetra. And those parts eternally reside in Vishabhanu Nandini, the full complete Radhika, but they reside in her as parts. If I take a part out of me and have that be a separate entity, then that part fully experiences its own existence. When it's in me, it becomes a part of my existence. So therefore, although it's stated that he learned from Vishakha and then experienced it in Puri, actually he was experiencing it in Navadvipa. Everything was experienced in Navadvipa, in full. But in Prakat Leela, the mood take form, take shape. Just like in Goloka Vrindavan, they think that Krishna took birth. They'll remember it, but it never happened. refers in Prakat Lila that there's a manifestation of Krishna taking birth. And Krishna never goes to Dwarka in Prakat Lila. They just sometimes may have a dream, or like when the mind drifts and then it comes back, oh, I just imagine Krishna went to Dwarka and he's terrible. But in Prakat Lila, it takes a form. That momentary thought. We can't imagine if we're so much appreciating the separation moves in the Gambhira and the moves which run on the ride. We can't imagine the Sambhog moves in their regular Atikaliya pastime. So Ramananda Rai, after teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his position and came to Puri following Mahaprabhu. So Ramananda Rai, Sri Damodar, Kaur Lalit and Vishakha, and Srimati Radhika were again together. Ramananda Rai sang his own poem. Like this morning, some of you were there this morning perhaps, they sang one song, Nayanam, Kalevaya, Dishi Dishi Nayanam. It's a song about Radharani by Sri Ramananda Rai. So he used to make up his own songs and sing them to bring out further and amplify and console Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. And Sri Damodar would recite from, and sometimes he also quoted from Bhagavatam and other scriptures, and Sri Damodar would sing the songs of Krishna Karnamrita, Chandidas, Bhagavatam, and I have here Radharasa Sudanidhi. They would console him in his Unmad Grasa. All night he would be awake, all throughout the 24 hours. And after 48 years, when he was in Puri, he entered the Tota Gopinath temple in this same Unmad Grasa. And he never returned. Then all his associates, gradually one by one, couldn't tolerate the separation and left this world and joined him in Goloka. Vrindavan on one side and Sweta Dweep, which is Navadweep in Goloka Vrindavan, on the other side. So Raghunath Das Goswami also left Puri to go to Vrindavan. You all know all these things, but nope, now you know that he said it that day.
Why do they say
Sweta Dweep? Why not? In Goloka, I don't know why it's called Sweta Dweep. I don't know. That's a good question. You can ask. Because there's a Sweta Dweep in the material world, which means white island, but we've never heard of Mahaprabhu's Sweta Dweep being called a white island. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also left Puri and came to Vrindavan to give up his life by jumping off Giri Govardhan or jumping into the Jamuna, because all of Puri became like a barren land after Mahaprabhu left. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and now with the help of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Krishna Das Goswami has narrated all of this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And before this... Okay. You're taking rest now?
All days will come and embrace you, wherever you are.
But before this, all was written in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Are you spacing this out? So today we will begin from the beginning of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And whatever we can do all the way up to the evening. Then we'll have kirtan and parikrama.
and finish today's program. So Gurudev led everybody around Tulsi. Today, all day, they should be fasting, and anyone who is not sick or weak should fast and do nirjal. Best if you don't even take water. Then the next day after sunrise, you take, then that will be more powerful. And if you do this, then Lord Chaitanya will think about your nirjal fasting. For me, they are suffering so much. So I will sprinkle my mercy on them. And he said the weather is also very favorable today. Then he began singing Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was a very large brownish red book. And as he was saying the last words of the verses, he was folding his hands in reverence. Then he quoted one very important verse. If anyone tries to please Krishna and is worshipping and serving Krishna, he'll be pleased to some extent, but anyone who serves Srimati Radhika, not even serves her, but just chants her name, then he becomes so indebted that he says to that person, whatever you want, I'll give you anything. Then he said, if you take shelter of Gurudev, the ultimate height, so to speak, of Gurudev, the principle of Gurudev, is Nityananda and Balaram. And then more height is the gopis. And the most height of taking shelter of Guru is Srimati Radhika, because she's the last limit of Guru Tattva. She's the supreme Akhanda Guru Tattva, because she is the guru of Krishna. For devotees in Raganuga Bhakti, who are in the line of Madhurya Ras, their guru is Srimati Radhika, and then Lalita and Vishakha. And in other rasas, the supreme guru is Nityananda and Balaram. If you're taking shelter and doing bandana prayers of Balaram and Srimati Radhika, then all the secret pastimes will come in your heart very easily. What does Haladar do? Haladar is the name of Balaram, and he holds the plow. He acts like a cultivator, as a cultivator has a plow to cultivate the field. So he plows and puts the seed of Prem Bhakti. He himself, in the form of Ananta, is always immersed in Lord Chaitanya's glories with his lakhs and lakhs of mouths. And if anyone hears and chants Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya's love, then Lord Chaitanya's love and affection comes in their hearts. Then he folded his palms when he said, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Then in the morning, later in the morning, this was the early morning class, then later in the morning, he called for a special meeting. Were you there? With some of the senior Western preachers, because he was thinking about giving Prem Prayojana Prabhu sannyas, and maybe others. He said, at least one I want to give. So he called a special meeting and was talking about sannyas and the standards for sannyas. He said that my new sannyasis should be just like me. Now, the thing is, I don't know what to do because... She did? Oh. Right. So he said, so my new sannyasis, they should try to follow me, but not exactly like me, because I'm special. But even though I'm special, I never associate with any lady devotees alone. And sannyasis should not laugh or joke with ladies. He said that he didn't feel that the young age of his new sannyasis would affect anything, because the age does not make a difference. It's not the age, but the quality. Shankaracharya took sannyas at the age of 8. And sannyasi should always be with other brahmacharis and other male devotees so that they can be safeguarded. And when they give classes, they should be surrounded like men, by men first, just like I am. And then the ladies can be behind them. Then other standards of sannyasi is that he should respect everyone, just like I do. Even those who are junior to him should be respected by him. Not that he gets all the respect. Then he had turned everyone's attention to preaching and publishing and book distribution. He wanted a committee or a board for each of those aforementioned departments, like preaching, publishing, and book distribution. And there were some very old book distributors there in the room, and devotees were mentioning their names for them to be on that committee, so that everything is done in the highest possible standard of love and compassion and Krishna consciousness. He said, regarding book distribution, Ram Bijay Prabhu should be the head of all, because he's very strong. And other experienced devotees should enthuse and set standards and bring bhajan into book distribution. We remembered that he told us in Australia that we shouldn't see the non-devotees as karmis, or the karmis, but rather as brothers and sisters. So we're distributing books to our brothers and sisters. That's an example of a standard, how a book distributor should think. So then I said to him, last night you said that without sannyas mantra, you can't become a gopi. So he said, no. Gopal mantra has everything. And the sannyas mantra just supports the Gopal mantra. Then Govinda Bhakti Prabhu asked that for preaching, should we consider ourselves as a branch or expansion of the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti? So Gurudev said, no, you are the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti. Said, but you're not a branch, you're it. But the consideration that I'm Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti should be second, no third, no fourth, no fifth consideration. The main consideration that we should have is that we're all the family of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If there's an advanced, sincere, and pure devotee in a different institution then we should offer him our regard, not to our godbrother, just because he's in our institution, if that godbrother is fallen, or is less advanced, or not advanced. We shouldn't think, oh, even if he's fallen, he's my godbrother, so I'll give him respect, and not the other one. Then he turned our attention to publishing, and he requested a board for that also, that nothing should be published without going through this committee. That would avoid wasting money on reprinting and having embarrassing mistakes. Then I asked a question in that regard, because one of his books had some pictures in it that, at least from my experience with Srila Prabhupada, were improper to be used as representing our sampradaya or Krishna consciousness or Lord Chaitanya's movement. It was a picture done in a very primitive style that looks kind of like a colored woodcut or like one of those Ajanta cave paintings. Very beautiful primitive art as an abstract art piece, if you're considering it as colors and shapes, but nothing looked realistic, and Krishna didn't look beautiful. In fact, his eyes were popping out of his head, like a circle coming out of his eye. So I asked him if he could please comment on it. He said, no, the board, the committee, should meet on it, not to ask me. I said, well, we already did, but we don't agree. So now we're asking for your opinion. So he held up the picture, and he said, it's very terrible. Krishna doesn't look at all beautiful. And then somebody else said, but it looks like primitive art, and, you know, you're nowadays people that really appreciate it. So he said, they appreciate it, but it's not good. I had also done something to please the public once. I wanted to be like Leonardo da Vinci was to the public, so that our paintings would be attractive to the public like Leonardo da Vinci's was. So I made Narada Muni muscular with a Christ style dhoti instead of the usual brahmachari dhoti, and put him in a redwood forest. And Prabhupada wrote me that he looks like a meat eater instead of a milk drinker. And we're not for pleasing the senses of the public because they're fools, but we want to please the senses of our predecessor acharyas. And then he looked at the other picture, and he said, who are these two demons fighting? And then somebody said, oh, that's Vasudev meeting Nanda Maharaj and embracing. So Gurudev said, no, they look like two demons fighting. This is not the kind of art that I want. So that's what it meant by saving money and embarrassing mistakes by having a board look at it first. Regarding preaching, he says that he wants to have preaching centers, but not big, big temples and structures and big, big temples, not big institutions. He said he wanted many, many books published, especially small booklets like the one that Hrishikesh Maharaj had just printed for mass distribution. He said, then if you do that, then just like in Prabhupada's time, thousands and thousands will come. Then I had shown him another picture a day or two before, which some devotees were considering publishing, which was one of those pastime pictures of Krishna embracing one gopi, and Gurudev didn't accept it at all. He said, this is naked rasa. He said, we do not want naked rasa. Everything should be covered, protected. Just like we don't say Narayan Maharaj, we say my Gurudev or Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj or so many other things that cover it, so we don't, otherwise it's like naked, especially for disciples. Then Rajanath Prabhu said that some devotees consider that book distribution is arobh siddhi bhakti. Arobh siddhi bhakti means that it's not actually bhakti, but the word bhakti is superimposed over it. Like I like to garden, to do gardening. It gives me pleasure to do gardening, and I'll offer one of my flowers to Krishna, or some, and then I'll, but the rest of it is still in my garden. And I'm offering some of my flowers to Krishna. And this is bhakti, this will please Krishna. This is my conception that it will please Krishna. Because Krishna didn't tell me that this is what will please me. So somebody said book distribution is that. And Gurudev said, it's not arobh siddhi bhakti unless it's done without understanding. If one reads the books and understands them, then it's devotional service and follows the books. If one doesn't do those three, then it's not only arobh siddhi bhakti, but it's also karma. It's just plain karma. Because you're doing it for fruits, to enjoy fruits, and you're just using Krishna to get your own fruits. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said this in his last day's preaching in his Upadeshavali. And then Gurudev also said, when we asked him the same question in Australia, he said, you have to do arobh siddhi bhakti. It's the only kind you can do right now. So he said, if you don't do all these things, establish structures and for preaching and book publication and actually make it happen in a large scale, then after I leave, in 1 minute, everything will collapse. You know, and also how to respect others, everything that he'd been saying at this meeting. He said there should be no walls. Think very broadly, with expanded arms, that we're all in one family. He said all brahmacharis and sannyasis, also, you know, continuing to give the standards of sannyasis, because he was making new sannyasis. They don't have to tell everybody what's going on in their lives, but they do have to tell their guru everything that's going on. They should not hide anything. He said, it's like me. And he said, and they should give all their money. They shouldn't keep anything for themselves. Like me, if I need something, I ask Gopinath or Radhakanta. And when I get something, I give it to Naveen or Brajanath for doing anything with. So they should all follow me, but not imitate me. Like I can pat ladies on the head, but they can't. And say, oh, Mangala Bhavatu, Mangala Bhavatu. Then I asked, although I'd heard it from him several times before, but because this was kind of a book publication meeting, I wanted it to ask him so he could say it in front of the people there. That some devotees say that we should, that yes, let's distribute these simple, basic books, but let's not distribute your other advanced books because they're too high. So Gurudev said, no, that's not correct thinking. An unqualified person will not take them. They'll avoid them. Only those who are qualified from so many Sukhatis and Sanskars of past lives, they will take the book, so there's no harm to go out and try and give it to people. There's no harm, nothing to worry. In previous meetings that we had with him on the subject, he said you could even distribute Venu Geet. And Ramanath Prabhu Charitamrita's husband said, but they're meat eaters and have illicit sex and take drugs. And he said, only those with adhikari will take, so there's no, again, there's nothing to worry. Even somebody who's a meteor might have the adhikari. Like, look at Devamangala Thakur. He was a prostitute hunter, but he had the adhikari. He was almost in prem from his previous life. He said, I know, but if you do all these things that I mentioned in this meeting,